Hi everyone, I'm Margot Coatsworth and this is Ask Margot, where we answer the tricky questions of life. By way of introducing myself today, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the word. This aspect of what I do and offer is very close to my heart, and this radio show is really the first time I've trotted out the word publicly. I have written some volumes of these wonderful messages I've received from the universe, but I haven't really spoken about them until now. A friend once called me a conduit, and that means a channel for conveying. That's true. There are other biblical definitions, but I prefer to keep this simple and easy for anyone, no matter what their beliefs. I type these beautiful, directional, affirmational messages as they come to me. I endeavour always to keep my own opinion out of it, as it's not always the same. I'm much less generous sometimes. If I think I'm interfering, I stop, though I've received many hundreds, so I do know how to keep myself out of the mix. And if it doesn't flow, I stop, because I don't want to be contriving or thinking up answers myself. All I can say is, if you think this sounds a bit iffy, please put aside your reservations, because you'll know whether the message is right or not. It will resonate with you. I'm a very strong proponent of the belief that every one of us has a kind of truth meter within. We just need to tune in. You'll recognize the truth of these messages when you hear them. I do seek answers from the Word often, and sometimes on behalf of others. And one friend who asked me a lot of questions asked again today, and I said, well, if she had a question, she should write in for me to seek an answer in this forum. So let's give her a name. It's Michelle. If Michelle writes in, you'll hear a question, and then we'll see what answer the universe has for her. I always finish these programs with a message from the Word, or as my brother says to me, get a word on it, if we need to make a decision or find direction for something. So that's the word. There's more on my website if you want to read about it, margotunlimited.com. Now, our first question today is from John. He says, my older cousin has recently been diagnosed with dementia, and looking back, it was probably evident about 3 years ago, but it was put down to eccentric or strange behaviour. And within the family, we gossiped about it a bit and thought harmlessly, without any mean intent. Now that the condition has deteriorated, I'm finding older members of the family are still getting frustrated with my cousin. Can you believe she did this? Can you believe she did that? She won't listen. She won't change her clothes. She doesn't answer questions. This is all part of her quick demise into dementia, and constant reminders of this to the family are falling on deaf ears. I want the family to understand, to be understanding of her condition, but they are a little closed off, and even though they logically must know it's the illness, they seem to be in some sort of denial. Is there a way I can get through to them? Communications aren't really my strong point, but I certainly know when one of my family is unwell and can't help themselves, and I worry this constant questioning and some anger towards her is upsetting her. When this question was sent to me, it was sent with a query, was this one okay for the show? I said it was perfect, but I probably would have said that about anything. My beautiful, greatly missed mother had dementia, and I lived with her for a year and looked after her, which I consider a privilege, really. Think how many nappies she changed for me and my siblings. My wonderful sisters were the most loving, caring, supportive little clan of carers, but we had to learn to deal with the change in someone we knew so well and the difficulties of dealing with behaviour that's not logical or rational. Someone else I know who had dementia told his daughter that he had worked out that he could ask a set of generic questions so he wasn't shown up as not recognising who it was he was talking to. We think this is hard for us, but on the receiving end, can you imagine how terribly challenging it would be to be the one who knew they were losing their grip on reality? Potentially pretty nightmarish. It seems to me that some people do recognise and sort of preempt as much as they can, but it's more likely that the person will deny a whole lot, forgetting things and people, changing what they've said, doing something odd, all kinds of things. This is where empathy and caring has to step up in a big way. It really doesn't matter if you're being accused of doing something, running off with the silver, whatever it is. Don't take offence. That would just be too much about you, and really it doesn't matter. You're there to support that person however you can and in every way you can. You have to put aside any need to be right or need to correct that person, because that's usually our first response. We want to say, oh, but that's not what happened. Oh, but you didn't say that. I'm going to recommend a book to you, John. When my sisters and I read it, we wished we had had it right at the beginning so we understood what we could really do to best handle the situation. The book's called Contented Dementia, which sounds like a contradiction in terms, but it's very insightful. I suggest you buy it and pass it around your family. Tell them they can have 2 weeks to read it before they pass it to the next person. You can make a little schedule and write the person and the date and then who they pass it on to. Stick it in the book. Tell them it's highly recommended. Tell them it's called Contented Dementia and it's about how to handle the situation. When each one of them has read it, say that you'd like it back by the specified date because you want to read it again and have it handy for reference through the process. That way no one will just shelve it. Part of me finds it sticks to say Contented Dementia because I don't really think there's anything we can't be healed from. But I'll sit on that thought for the moment because I want to answer your question, John, and address you where you're at the moment. You can't change your family by pushing an agenda in their direction, of course, but there is power in the way you speak around them. Take on some of the techniques in the book for how not to challenge your cousin or correct her, but just to agree with her and support her as much as you can. You'll have to be the leader in your family on this. No one has to be right. It's okay if she's wrong and they are right about something. So what? It's okay if they're wrong and she's right about something. It really doesn't matter. Just find a soft way around it. For example, if she doesn't want to change her clothes, maybe you can buy something new for her or make some kind of fun thing happen around changing. So you're shifting her focus. So you're not going up against her by saying you must do something. You're saying perhaps we're going to dress up to go out for dinner or go out for tea or so-and-so's coming around. It's really important to let anything go that really doesn't matter, like correcting her or requiring an answer or an explanation. If it's not essential, leave it alone, because it will throw her into a deeper state of confusion if she feels pushed. John, you will be the one at the forefront of this caring, as you're the one who sees what's happening. You'll need to find all your zenness for this. Doing research is great. The more informed, the better. And medically speaking, we are learning all the time. Don't enter into debate with your family, just lead from the front by example. I've learned a lot since my mama went to heaven, so I understand now that we have more power to affect change in our lives, in our bodies, in our minds, than I ever knew then. You can be the one to speak words of calm, understanding, and well-being over your family, all of them. You can be the one to hold them all in a place of caring and understanding. This must start in your thinking around the whole subject and then show up in the way you speak about it. For example, you could say to your family, "It's so great that she has our support and understanding. I've been doing some research and it seems the best way to support someone like your cousin is to do so-and-so when so-and-so happens." No more anger, it's completely out of line. You'll just have to cut through that and say, "We can't get angry, because she isn't responsible for all her thinking processes at the moment. So the most supportive, loving, chop that one out because it always works, and most caring thing to do in this instance is to dot, dot, dot." Don't let her hear you talk about her other than positively and normally, because there'll be fear sometimes in her mind and as she comes to realise what's going on with her. So she doesn't need to hear anything that isn't helpful. I wish I could offer more, but the book, Your Management of the Situation and Your Thoughts and Attitude, will be a force for good. You must decide that it will be, and don't let go of that thought, no matter what. You're going to be the hero in this. Actually, you already are. Please stay in touch and let us know how you go. Our next question today is about love. What a fun subject. Angela says, "Hi, Margot. I've met a man and I think I might love him. But what if that changes? What if it's not big enough or strong enough to go the distance? It's scary to think you're making a lifetime commitment. How do you decide if what you feel is enough?" Well, this is such a big subject, Angela, and really quite challenging to distill or simplify. But I always start from the point of view of an individual's expectations of life and love. If you really want a companionable mate to share your days in life with, then that requires a match of a particular kind. If you want to get lost in the fury and flurry of huge passionate love, that will take your breath away. Just finding a companion probably isn't what you want. Companions are easier to find than all-encompassing love affairs. So decide first what's going to satisfy you. If you really want the big, powerful stuff, it's not fair for you to choose a companion alone. It's not fair to them because they won't feel they're able to provide you what you want. And it's not fair to you because you aren't going to be satisfied. I have a friend who has not had a lot of success with the men she fell in love with, so the choice became one that she wanted a man who loved her more than she loved him. That made her feel safe and offered constancy, I guess. And the ideal is to love each other to an equal degree, surely. Regarding the man you're now seeing, you must decide what will satisfy you and find out if he wants the same. If he has a little temporary love for you when he really wants one of the big ones, you need to know that. If you feel compelled to be with him, that's probably your answer. It's a hard one to move beyond. Then you have to work with what you've got. It's very hard to talk yourself out of such a feeling. If you can be happy without him, you need to identify that in yourself. Some loves fade or drift away in just a few years. Seems sad, but that does happen. Then there are the rare kind that can never be shaken off and always sit in the depths of your heart waiting to be ignited by whatever it is that may be the trigger. There are so many things to consider. To me, the standout ones are: 1, do you feel compelled to be with him? And 2, is what will satisfy you? Because once you choose, you have to be all in. There's never any rush, Angela. So you should stay in the space you're in until you're certain. If you aren't certain, and this is all about you, then call it a case of mistaken identity. And you have permission to leave it in the past, and set that person free to find someone who's right for them. They have a right to be happy just like you do. I hope this will help you, Angela. Love is grand, and finding a match who's perfect for us is one of the most fabulous things life has to offer. I think we probably all agree on that. Thank you for your question. Just an aside, I was looking through my collection of articles and the things I've written, and I found a little ebook about resetting your mind. I must have written it quite a while ago, but everything in it was just what we're talking about on these shows. So if you would like me to send a copy, you can go onto my website and ask for it. Just say, send me the reset book, and we'll send that out to you. It's full of good stuff. Number 3. This is a question from Rhett. What do you do when you're out and someone is denigrating their spouse? This question is one that probably has come up in your life before. My first thought is not to go out with that person again. But probably the percentage of people who at some point run down their partner publicly is sadly a bit greater than it ought to be. You could always begin with a talk up your spouse movement. I don't know about that. I had a lovely friend who has sadly gone to heaven now, but she and her husband were such a harmonious match. All the years I knew her, she never once criticized him or talked badly about him. It was very cool. It was very noticeable. Once when I was talking to her about research for my books on the foibles of the mating game, she just looked at me and said, "I don't know. I only know Kevin." It was so lovely to see a woman who felt not just that her husband was enough, but he was kind of everything. So romantic, as my daughter would say. I'm afraid this running a partner down thing is very common, but what to do? You can always interject with a positive comment, try and steer the conversation in a different direction. We really do have to learn not just to accept unacceptable conversations. If you can't redirect, you may have to cut someone short by suggesting they continue privately where they can get more support. And they can read whatever they like into that. Hopefully they will get the message that that's not an appropriate forum for what they're saying. If you can't get them to settle down at that point, you may have to take your leave. I had a friend who discovered her husband was being unfaithful, and the stuff that came out of her mouth was very full on. I just listened because I knew it came from a place of anger, and behind that anger was a terrible wound, a betrayal. So you kind of have to read the situation to know what to do. Start by asking yourself, why do you think it might be going on? I have to say that I've heard a lot of running down of husbands and partners in my time. Perhaps because I'm a girl, I've heard more from the female point of view. Maybe men are not so expressive. Or perhaps they're more easily satisfied, I don't know. So to recap, turn the conversation if you can. If that doesn't work, try and shut it down. Tell them it makes you feel uncomfortable and could you talk about something else. If that doesn't work, you can leave. If it keeps happening, you need to find new friends whose values align with yours. Too often, we think we have to work at fixing situations in our lives when really the people involved are no longer, and maybe never were, a fit for us. If you don't share similar values with them, they are not your people. They're not contributing to your life, and what you have to offer isn't what they want. Leave them and let them find their own people. Whenever I hear someone talk appreciatively about their family members, and especially their partner, I think how fantastic it is. Imagine if we met someone and from the very beginning liked and only ever had good things to say about them. That might be a bit of a dream, but a worthy one, I think, to aspire to. Thank you for your question, Rick, and good luck with that. Number 4. Everything, banks, insurance, loyalty, seems no longer recognised or rewarded anymore. It really upsets me. What do you think about that? This is a friend of mine who said they couldn't stand the fact that there was no loyalty in the system anymore. So when they asked me this question, I thought, well, it's not really a question, it's more of a complaint. Okay, we do complaints too. I know, I miss my old bank manager, the days when they knew you, your history, your past circumstances and what you were trying to do. They knew what your end game was and they worked with you. The world has changed. We have lost that connection. So I want today to follow that thread of connection because at this point, I'm unable to make change with the insurance companies and banks of the world. So just talk about connection today, because that's what our lives are about, relationship and connection. Do you know that one of the principal reasons for depression is lack of connection? Think about the people you know who may be in that state and see if they feel connected in their lives, and you'll probably find the answer is no. It's vital for us to be connected with each other. We need it. We must have it. And what I want to say today is if you know in your own life that connection is not where it should be, that it's doing you no good, you must take steps to change that. You can't wait for someone else to do it for you. You can't look outside of yourself. You must take responsibility in this for yourself. Do one of the following immediately this program is over. 1. Ring an old friend. 2. Speak to a stranger, not in a creepy way. Maybe a neighbour over the fence is good. Even acknowledging someone as you go for a walk, it really makes people's day. If you say, oh, I was out walking and people said, what a great day it is, or good morning, that's all you need to do just to connect. 3, join a group. Don't just think about it, do it. Pottery, art, books, knitting, mechanics, golf. If you're looking for a girl, go where the girls go, go to yoga. If you're looking for a boy, go to golf or mechanics. write a note and give it to someone, along with a jar of something, jam. If you're not a jam maker, give them a jar of lollies. It doesn't really matter. It's the thought that counts. When you give something to someone, they will engage and say thank you. It's the beginning of a connection. One of my favourites is giving random compliments. Even if you're walking down the street, say to somebody, great hair, or great colour, or great shoes. People just love it. Decide to give a compliment to someone every day and see what happens. It will boomerang. If you have spare apples on your tree, or herbs in your garden, or a good book to share, do it. Switch your focus from you to someone else in need. Do a favour, help someone with something you can add to their lives or share with them. Find out what's going on in your community. There's always a huge amount. You just need to pick up a community paper to find out. Ask yourself, what can I do to add into the mix? The last one is, if you don't know what to say to people, and often people will say, I don't want to do social things because I don't feel comfortable and I don't know what to talk about. But all you have to do is smile and ask a question of somebody. People love that. Not cross-examining, but just showing interest in them. So I have a friend who used to complain about no one being in touch with her. No one rang, no one visited. And I thought, you need to turn that around and you need to say, who am I going to ring today? Who can I visit today? We have to stop expecting help to come from outside ourselves and start to take initiative with things like this in our lives. Well, that was our last question. Don't forget, send your questions into admin@coastaccessradio.org.nz or to me, Margo@MargoUnlimited, and I will answer them. Now we're going to have our message from the universe, from the word, for today. This was a word, a message that came for a friend actually, who asked me to request one for him. When he got it, he said, oh, this would be good for others too. So here it is. When you make a decision to focus yourself in a particular direction, a new direction, you will be challenged to do things in the old way. Expect that, but allow it to just float past you. You may observe it, but when you do so, you must look at it as though it is something remote from you, because it is. The old and unwanted will always pop up here and there. You live amongst it, but you are a new man with new thoughts and new intentions, so the old things must never be allowed any power over you. This is quite wonderful. When the things that have bothered you show their heads, you can just nod at them and say, sorry, there is no place for you to settle here. You can know with absolute certainty that you have taken back your power from all that has made you feel powerless and less than. And now you stand in a place of strength. It's a strong place, and nothing can move you from it except you. And why would you do that? Take heart as you have taken charge. Keep your expectations high and lofty. Keep your conversation there too, and your consideration of others. Give what you want to receive, and that's what will come back to you. Thank you very much for joining me today. Blessings, joy, peace, and happy ever after to all of you.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.org.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.